Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I'm joined by Parthi Loganatham for a new kind of episode that we're going to start trialing out, which is called Actionable Audits. And the whole goal is we're going to dig deep into either an ABM program or a podcast to figure out how could this potentially improve to drive better revenue, create better content, and engage your audience better. So with that, Parthi, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Mason.
So again, Parthi, CEO and founder of LetterDrop. So go ahead and give us some quick context. What is your podcast and who are you speaking to from an audience perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So our podcast is pretty new. We sell into marketing teams. And so for the most part, like, we'd love to target anybody who's in GTM, specifically CMOs. And we have about 16 episodes. I want to say maybe a third of them are with CMOs who we have prospected into or wanted to build relationships with. And the rest are just more general purpose. Hey, here's things that are generally helpful to folks in GTM. And we started off the podcast strong, just got a whole bunch of episodes lined up. And now we're trying to be more intentional about it. And so now we're really thinking about which guests we invite on the show. And we only invite guests on for two reasons. One is we're trying to build a relationship with somebody. And two, we feel like somebody just has something to teach our audience that we think is just very aligned with what we do as a company, for example. So it's if our tooling helps people achieve something and somebody wants to say, hey, like, this is the right thing that you should be doing, we'd love to have them on.
So again, what I'm hearing is primarily focused on a go-to-market audience and figuring out, from a guest perspective, it's either someone you want to have a relationship with, or it's more like they're a public figure in their space and you want to share their message.
Correct.
Am I hearing that all correctly? Cool.
Yeah.
Real quick, as we think through, I'm a believer that there's only really three kinds of podcasts. So one is like the content engine, where the whole goal is like, how do we create a ton of great content out of this? The next is the account-based podcast, where it's all an ABM program. The last one is what I refer to as public figure podcasting. So the goal is like, how do we take something that already has an existing audience and build up a new channel for them to engage that same audience? So based on what I'm hearing, if we think about it from a goals perspective, it's either going to be the account-based podcast, where the goal is the relationship component with the guests, or the content engine. So as we talk about measuring success, like, how are you determining if this podcast is a success or not?
Yeah, we're still in the pretty... We're in the early days of that. To your point, our podcast is definitely focused on those first two in terms of helping us drive content that shares our message, except it's now coming from somebody else as opposed to us. And then B, building those relationships from like an ABM standpoint. And so I think 10 of our episodes are in the content side of things, and probably 5 or 6 of our episodes are on the ABM side of things. In terms of measuring success, all we have today is we have a how do you hear about us field and demo signups, and we have seen exactly one person come in from same podcast. This is a podcast we started in mid-February, so it's been about 2 months. And
that's pretty good, honestly.
Yeah. I am right now not necessarily tracking. I think we just look into them, but we're not actively tracking downloads or anything along those lines. What we do is we do take clips from the podcast and share it on LinkedIn, where I have 10,000 followers and my team collectively probably has another 10,000, at least half of which is with our ICP. Yeah, that's how we measure it. And then for all the people that we try to build relationships with, I think it just helps get our brand in front of them and they build a relationship with me. And what my BDR will try to do is he will try to look for things that they mention in the podcast if they talk about their own personal business problems and use that as a discovery statement and outreach to below the line people at the organization.
Yeah. So again, what I'm hearing is, because I want to pull out a couple of things. You mentioned you're not tracking downloads necessarily. You have had one inbound, and a quick question on that front. Was it someone that was listening to the show or was it a guest of the show?
We have no idea. Our AE never asked. So all we have is it says podcast.
Yeah. But given that you know who the person was that came in, it wasn't a guest of the show.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was not a guest on the show. It was somebody who was listening to the show. Correct.
So it sounds honestly from a lining back to one of those three styles of podcast, it sounds like you're probably primarily building the content engine at the moment, because it sounds like the main thing that you guys are doing with the goal being like, how do we create the content to post-produce the content and then share it so we can get the message out there, which makes a lot of sense. Do you have any goals or measurement around like the number of content assets that are produced, or like how do you measure the success of those content assets?
Yeah, I think that is something we're not necessarily tracking on an individual like episode or podcast level. It's just more, hey, here's a bunch of like clips that are more aligned with what we talk about. And so what we do is we actually organize our organic campaigns on LinkedIn across our entire company, across our sales team or CS team or marketing team around thematic campaigns, right? So this week we'll be talking about social selling or SEO or something along those lines. And then we'll essentially use the clips that we find in podcasts, which align with those campaigns, and we'll use that to support our messaging. So that's how we use it right now. It's just like another way to at mention the folks in the podcast, get their audience also like watching our content.
Which is super smart. Okay. So again, I love the fact that you do actually have the content strategy component around all of your teams so that there's a unified front on that front. So yeah, I think you guys are definitely in the content engine podcast, and there may be elements in which you invite a target account on, but it sounds like the primary goal is content creation over using the podcast as a new business development tool in and of itself.
I think this is where we got our first 15 or 16 episodes out, and now we're like, okay, we have a podcast and we have a lot of assets at this point in time. And so now we're like, okay, we only need to create more episodes if we can actually get net new assets, which are unique or get us in front of a different audience or help us build relationships, which is why we slowed down our production and we're trying to be more thoughtful. We're just going through our SOC 2 process right now. And so we should be able to more easily sell into enterprise in the coming months. And so that's actually something we're looking into.
Very cool. So as far as, again, measurement, sounds like you're measuring, again, on content assets produced and maybe considering the transition more towards using it as a new business development tool down the road. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's right. Correct.
As far as, like, how do you actually source any kind of attribution for your show? What are you guys doing? You mentioned, like, the how did you hear about us form. Is there anything else you guys are doing?
I think that's pretty much it. We track LinkedIn engagement and website visits. If we do see somebody who is liking a post, commenting on a post, which is a clip from the podcast, and then somebody from that account is then visiting our website, that is something that we can track. And we track that using our own software in LetterDrop. And so that's one thing we do, is just try to understand that what that journey looks like. If they come in purely from Spotify or something along those lines, it's a little harder. We just do not know where they're coming from. And it's mostly, how did I hear about us? I think it would be nice if we trained our sales team to explicitly ask, hey, like, what made you come to us, or where do you hear about us? I don't think we're doing that right now. So unless they volunteer that information themselves, we're not getting that.
Yeah, that's helpful context. Have you considered any kind of a dedicated podcast offer for the podcast audience and engaging with LetterDrop?
Interesting. So it's if somebody were listening to the podcast and then they said that they came from the podcast and booked a demo or something along those lines, we'd have a special offer for them, which would help us with attribution. Is that it?
So yeah, it's that side. What we generally try to help our clients do is offer development. So what's a very unique and specific offer that's only promoted through the podcast channels as a way of attributing revenue to the podcast? Because especially given a podcast in its nature, it's going to be a more highly engaged audience. Yeah. generally than like someone that's a casual scroller through LinkedIn. So generally speaking, people that listen to podcasts have a desire to learn, to grow, learn something very specific based on the show. So if you have specific offers that resonate with that audience based on around the topics, and it for some, it's a content offer. So it's a deeper dive into a very specific topic. Ideal State is some form of an actual product offer that is a very unique and only promoted through the podcast. It's a curated audience generally that's more active in engagement, and it's a way that you can actually source and attribute specific revenue to the podcast. So that'd be a dedicated offer page that's in the show notes. It's also been called out like letterdrop.com/podcast.
Gotcha. No, I think that's a good idea. I guess since we're so early, we almost believe that nobody's actually going and listening to our entire podcast right now. And my thoughts are the only way for our podcast to get discovered or for there to be any sort of distribution is through social channels from the clips. And it's possible that someone watches the, and this has happened before, actually. People have watched the clips on socials and then they'll ask for like links to the full podcast. They'll be like, hey, can I check this entire thing out? We'll drop it in the comments sometimes and then we'll go watch the full podcast. But to your point, I think that it might be a good way where they go from social to like full podcast on YouTube or Spotify or Apple. And then finally, we give them an offer so that we can actually get them in the door.
Yeah. So again, it's been very helpful for our clients as a way of actually validating if the podcast is working or not, in the short term at least.
What's a good example of an offer for a SaaS company?
Yeah. So we had one client that did get half off for your first 3 months, but it was in the context of you signed an annualized agreement. So essentially it's like a slight discount when you amortize it out, or sorry, put it on an annual basis. But that was one example. They also had examples that were very content focused in nature. What they saw is that the content offers did lead to revenue, but it was like content offers that were tied very specifically into an episode theme, or ideally the show was going through a theme in and of itself. For the duration of that theme, the content offer tied directly into it, and it provided a much deeper dive. You would get in a 10 to 15 minute podcast episode. It's all dependent. So like Ideal State is some form of a product offer, because in a product offer, you're going to get faster time to revenue. You'll have lower conversions overall, but you'll have a more, for those that do convert, they're converting on a product offer. So they want to at least understand more about your product. On a content conversion, like you see more conversions, but they're longer tail or they never convert to pipeline.
And what's the best way to include your product within the conversation? Because I imagine most people listening to the podcast, this is pretty top of funnel, right? Because they're mostly there to learn about a topic, maybe there for the guest. And so what's the right way to suddenly go to a CTA or offer that is very bottom of the funnel to try out a product when maybe they're not even in market to buy quite yet?
Yeah. So again, generally you would do that in the outro. So it's not even necessarily a part of the conversation. And then as it relates to how do you drop the product or information around the product in the conversation, I've actually done it a couple of times and I now do it naturally, but I reference other clients we're working with. I reference other processes that we've built. I reference other things that are relevant in the context of the conversation. Like prime example is what we're talking through literally right now. I said with other clients, we've built offers, and then I gave examples of those clients. So it felt very natural because I'm coming at this as an expert on the topic. So it didn't feel like a product push. It didn't feel like a service push. It's just like, this is something we help our clients do. This is some examples. And we just like keep moving with the conversation. So where it makes sense, again, you referenced letter drop already a couple of times, which definitely makes sense. But showcasing, oh, we struggle with XYZ thing. And then referencing how letter drop, not saying like letter drop solves this, but yeah, with other clients, they were experiencing that too. And now they're able to do X, Y, and Z things because of the partnership. Like you can just drop it in pretty naturally as a part of the conversation.
Gotcha. And would you say you have to be careful about how you do this when you're working on a content or ABM type podcast, right? Because if you're working on an ABM type podcast and you start talking about yourself, does it rub the guest the wrong way when the guest was on there to talk about themselves? I'm just curious as to if the conversation a certain way.
Yeah, so it's very different depending on the kind of show. So I ran a podcast called The Marketing Ladder for a couple of years, And I was very intentionally not an expert on that show. It was all around me showcasing and highlighting how incredible all of our guests were. And that was the whole goal. It was a relationship play long term. So yeah, if I had started to insert my thoughts and opinions on that, wouldn't have made sense. But on a podcast called Scrappy ABM, where I'm the founder of a company called Scrappy ABM, it is assumed that it is more largely a peer-to-peer conversation. And the podcast as a result is structured as that. So I will ask the guest questions and then we go back and forth on the topic and then I move on to the next question. So it just depends on how the conversation is structured and then the host in and of itself. So again, in your context, you've got 10,000 followers, you're a CEO and a founder. You would be a peer-to-peer conversation. Now I want to give context. It also depends on who it is. For most of my guests, I'm peer-to-peer. But like prime example, if I were to have someone on Sangram, Verjay, who is like the godfather of account-based marketing, he and I are friends, but I'd probably add a lot less commentary on Sangram than I would someone else that is at a similar experience level to me. So it's largely dependent on the guest. And again, how are you framing yourself as the host? Are you the host of the party or are you an expert that's engaging in a peer-to-peer conversation?
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, all great questions. As far as, again, we've talked about the audience a little bit, but I'm actually going to push you a little bit on that because go-to-market leaders is actually pretty broad. And when we think about audience development, I really like to create the show for a person. And I mean that. Who is the individual by name that you're building the show for? This accomplishes a couple of things. I don't think personas work super well in the context of podcasts because they're very general and very vague. And I want to be able to answer the questions for when the context of the marketing ladder, I was the audience. So I just asked questions that I was trying to figure out for myself. I'm like, how do I build my marketing career? And now in the context of Scrappy ABM, I largely build the show for the marketing manager that was just tasked with ABM as like a bullet point of their job description. And that guy was named Chris. So I build the show for a guy named Chris that worked at a tech company that was like the solo marketing manager that was tasked with ABM and trying to make Chris successful. I'm not going to say his last name, but I literally build the show for Chris. So everything is like helping out Chris. He doesn't know that. He may listen and know that now, but it gets to the person level. So I'm curious for you, is there a person that you built this show for?
I don't think we've done that for an entire show right now. I think there's a set of episodes which are very much focused on, I'd say, VPs of marketing, CMOs, essentially the kinds of people we saw at the Pavilion CMO Summit, which is why I had a microphone and I was running around there, right? And so that's our sort of like ABM relationship side of the podcast. And then there's the other side of the podcast. And I think what you're getting at is that, hey, Barthi, you have a content and an ABM podcast merged into one right now. And then our content side of the podcast, like Mark Jung, who just talks about social selling on LinkedIn, everything he says is very aligned with what we do. And so I want him on the podcast, but he is not our buyer. But I feel like our audience should listen to Mark Jung. And then if you're aligned with Mark Jung, you should also maybe consider us. And so I think that is something we haven't figured out, where we have two different segments merged into one. Like I've had interviews with like my BDR where it's like, hey, like how do you use our own product and tooling to do your job? And like, how does the content help? How does that manage your relationship with marketing? All that kind of stuff. And that's in there on our podcast, educational to people. But to your point, I think it's more so that part is just more so about content than who is this for.
Yeah. So what I, again, would recommend is that you dig a little bit further into who is this intended for. Again, the marketing ladder was actually just me. And then now I've got Scrappy ABM for a guy named Chris. We've got a couple other shows where we know the people personally. And the whole goal is that we build the show with the goal of making their job easier. The rationale behind that is you ask better questions and you dig deeper when you know I know the gaps that they are experiencing. Like I know where they're struggling. So I'm not just like asking vague questions. I'm trying to dig something out so that I can make Chris's life better. Because what I just heard from you is we have created content that's for CMOs. We went Mark Jung on the show. And I think that's all guest focused. But I'll put it this way. Why do we want Mark on the show? What audience are you referencing that we get value from Mark's content?
I wanted Mark on the show because he helps executives like CMOs who we sell to understand the value of social selling on LinkedIn. And so Mark was invited on the show to communicate that message so that it becomes a natural conversation for us to be like, okay, if you are listening to this and you're bought into what Mark is saying over here, you as a CMO or VP of marketing should also be bought into what we do as well, because we're a very natural extension of that ideology, essentially.
Yeah. I'm curious if you've had specific customers, you don't have to name them, but if you think about the customers that have actually bought from you, would there be any specific CMO or VP of marketing that is like, oh, we're building the show for this person because before they were working with LetterDrop, they didn't understand the value of social selling. And now that they work with LetterDrop, they understand the value and they're implementing it. So I'm just thinking through, because it sounds like you are focused on an executive buyer, but it sounds like, for lack of a word, maybe someone that is not as digitally aware of the value around social selling. So it's a legacy CMO that is trying to maybe get more into a more modern approach for outbound and for selling. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, I think like the legacy CMO thing is probably like a harder sell. I don't know if I want to go to a legacy CMO and then convince them from scratch. I think the vast majority of people just need to understand, hey, like this is actually easier to do than you think, and it's more valuable for you to do than you think. People put it off not because they don't necessarily believe in it. They put it off just because it's work and it's uncomfortable. In the same way that starting a podcast is uncomfortable and it's work, even if it works. I'd say, yes, that is like the buyer is not necessarily the legacy piece, but like CMO who needs to be convinced, like this is totally worth it and not, and also going to be easier to do if we have the right tooling in place.
Yeah. We won't get into it, but again, I just highly recommend that you outline the person, because that leads me to kind of the next question, which is like, what are the goals for the audience in listening to your show? Like, why would somebody listen to the show?
I think like a good example of this is maybe Lindsay Kelly. She's a VP of marketing. She actually purchased us at her previous company. She's now at a new company and she just sent us a referral. But essentially, she got bought into a lot of the stuff that we do. This was actually pre-podcast, but more so from LinkedIn content I was putting out there, and it influenced how she thought about this.
Very cool. So again, for her, it sounds like the goal was operationalizing social selling. Yeah. And the question would just be, again, how do we take this concept that is honestly a little bit difficult to operationalize and actually make it in such a way that it's repeatable, it's scalable, it's measurable, all those different things. Correct. Would that be the goal?
Cool. Yeah.
Right. As far as, again, a lot of our shows that we were working with have some mix of solo and guest-based content. It sounds like you've been entirely guest-based. My question would be, have you considered any kind of solo content to specifically share like a LetterDrop message and thought leadership?
For the podcast itself, it's all guest-based. We do video that doesn't include guests. It's internal. So we do a webinar once a week. It's largely Keelan and Paul on our marketing team. And that's very product-focused. It's just, hey, here's how you do things manually. Here's how you do things with LetterDrop. And there's a whole social push, newsletter push to drive attendees to that webinar. And so that's internal. Sometimes what I will do, and this is purely for LinkedIn and doesn't have any other distribution channel, is I will just like talk into my camera about a topic that I'm thinking about. So that's just like a video addition to honestly like what might have normally been like a LinkedIn text post.
Yeah. My question would be like, have you considered just taking the audio from those things and publishing them on the podcast? If it's good content to push to LinkedIn, it's likely good content that helps you, again, push the same message. And we're finding really great success with episodes that are 10 minutes or less because they're so short and so concise and so tight in the content and the message that people will listen to the full episode.
Gotcha. Do you add that into the normal podcast? So for example, our podcast right now is all video like this and gets distributed to three channels, YouTube, which has video, and Spotify and Apple, which is just audio. Yeah. And they're all roughly around 20 to 35 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to do a completely new format like this, is your recommendation, how do I think about shoving it into the existing
format? So it's just a different series within the same channel. So if you think about podcasts as a channel, then there are numerous series that can happen concurrently within that same channel. Again, my client that I reference often, because I'm very public about this client, his name is Jay Schwedels, and we have four concurrent series that happen every single week. So we have What's Up This Week, which is always very marketing trends focused. It's timely. We record it every Sunday. We release it on Tuesdays. It's a quick turnaround time. every single week. We have Ask Us Anything. That is one work question, one personal question every single week. We have Jay's Scoop, which is a 12 to 15 minute episode. 50% of the content is email, 25% is social, 25% is recent trends, because he's got a pretty significant data team that extrapolates great data around what's working in marketing. And then we also have Expert Quick Tips, which is about a 15 to 20 minute guest episode. So we have those four series that all run concurrently. So in the context of even Scrappy ABM, I have Scrappy Playbooks. This is going to be Actionable Audits. I have my own new solo series, which is yet to be titled, so I'll figure that out later. And then I also just have, whenever I release an episode that I've been on for somebody else's show, I just put a line I say recorded on in the whatever podcast or wherever it was recorded. So technically recorded on could be a series. It's a horrible series title, but that's the context, is like these are all different series. And then you just create consistency in your releases. So like my Scrappy Playbooks releases every Monday, recorded on releases every Thursday. We're actually probably going to release our solo content on Fridays, and I'm probably going to look at Actionable Audits as like a Tuesday or Wednesday release. So I'll end up doing four episodes a week with four different series.
Gotcha.
So that's how I would do it. And then in YouTube, it's just, it's literally like a line break. So it's the title, line break, whatever your series is. I don't know. I think of your type, like your company name is Letter Drop. So like you could have some form of tie in to that.
Just fun puns. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is how I would address solo content if it's something you can consider. And again, it's just repurposing what you're already doing.
Yeah. I think we're doing it. I think it's not being shared on like more permanent channels. It's just been shared on ephemeral channels today.
Yeah. So again, it's just another channel that you have access to distribute content. So that's all, again, just a helpful thought process. The last piece to dig into is more the promotional strategy. So again, we have a fair number of shows that have grown from an audience listenership. And as much as I wish I could say it was all the podcast promotion, or sorry, all the podcast production, and we had a great production team that did all like some beautiful work. Like at the end of the day, podcasts are horrible for discoverability. Like Spotify and Apple are some of the worst search engines of all time. So really, in order to grow a show, it's all around how do you use other channels to drive people to your podcast. So as you think about how you've been growing your show and building the audience, like what are the channels that you're currently using to promote the show?
Definitely just LinkedIn and our newsletter. I'd say those are the LinkedIn by far. And then I'd say the newsletter is the second one. Okay. And then I don't think YouTube, or like our YouTube channel is not optimized for discovery, but if anyone finds us on YouTube with our whatever sub 100 subscribers, that's there too.
Okay. So you've got YouTube, but it's sub about 100 subscribers at the moment. And then it's largely LinkedIn and an email newsletter. So for your email newsletter, how many subscribers do you guys currently have?
Probably have around 1,500.
Okay. So you've got 1,500 email subscribers. Again, an aggregate audience, as you mentioned on LinkedIn, between your profile and all other profiles, is about 20,000.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I have a love-hate relationship with LinkedIn around reach for your audience, because in like between you and I average in the ballpark of like 20% the impressions that I have followers. So like I've got in the ballpark of 18, coming up on 19,000 followers. I'm probably getting in the ballpark of 2,000 to 3,000 impressions for most of my posts, unless I have one that like super hits. And then I'm like at 8 to 9 at this point. So even in that context, the reach is not super great. So my question would just be like, there's a couple of different channels that you could try. And I'm curious if you've considered this. One that I've been doing that has been working really well is actually outbound DMs. So direct messaging people that are the right fit for the audience, which is why I'm really bullish on who is the show for and what are the goals for that show. Because then you can be really specific and personalized in your outbound messaging. What I've actually found in sending these DMs is I probably send out about 20 a day. I will get 5 that are like, I just added it to the list. Of 3 people on a daily basis are like, I'm actually already listening. I love your show, which is super helpful for me to know that one, I am going after the right audience. And then two, I can actually ask them for feedback and just say, hey, that's awesome. What has been the most helpful content? because the greatest challenge with podcasting is you don't necessarily know exactly who the audience is. And it's difficult to get feedback on the show from an actual active listener that's not somebody you already personally know. So I really like outbound DMs as a method for increasing the show audience because it feels personal. Another thing would just be, like, have you guys considered any thought leadership ads on LinkedIn to boost the posts that you see that are already performing well?
Yeah, we've run those previously. We only run them if we feel like an organic post did well and also seems to have driven conversion. So I had something go viral and had 17 inbound requests come in 2 hours after that. And so we boosted that. Otherwise, I think we're pretty conservative about thought leadership ads or just ad spend, given where we are. The outbound DMs strategy is interesting. How do you work that into an existing sequence? So we have a BDR and he has all the triggers and things he's working on. Part of the sequences involve education, or he's just, oh yeah, here's my hypothesis on what your problem might be. And here's an asset that I might want to share with you. So I'm curious as to like how your outbound DMs blend, like here's the podcast episode or here is an asset versus I think I can help you with a problem and want to chat with you right now.
Yeah, admittedly, my pipeline is pretty full and we are decently close to our capacity. So I'm less right now focused on immediate conversions and I'm more focused on ongoing education. Because for me, with my own show, I have people that come inbound and they're like, I've listened to the past 50 episodes. So I'm ready to buy like this. And they know, like, they're using my language to tell me about it. So for me, in my current context, I am so laser focused on podcast listener acquisition, because what I have found is if I can get somebody hooked on the show, the inevitable byproduct is that they will either buy from me or refer a friend. That is just what always happens because I'm so focused on like actionable playbooks and tactics of like, how do you go do the thing? So there's that side and understanding, again, from a content perspective, if you think about the audience first and the goals for the audience, and you actually help the audience do their job better, then inevitably people will buy from you. And that's not what everybody wants to hear, but it's been my experience. So there's that side. The other thing is you already answered your own question of just like a podcast from a content perspective is just an asset. So if you have a framing of the problem and then the content in the podcast answers that problem, it's just an asset. So like you just share it as a part of your standard outbound sequences. We do that with a lot of our clients that we're helping write outbound programming for, is it's a mix of video, podcast, and written form content. Because that also, if we get a blend of content mediums, we engage the person that's receiving that message, ideally in one of the ways that they learn. Because people learn through their visual learners, their auditory learners, they learn through reading. It's difficult to get tactile sometimes, but like those are the ways in which people learn. So if you mix up the different assets that you send based on how somebody would engage with the content and actually learn, then again, it's just an asset that it addresses a problem.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting and something I'm trying to figure out myself is trying to make sure that our BDR knows when to use what asset. He's maybe not necessarily staying up to date with the podcast or knows like what episodes are coming out or what kinds of problems we're thinking that talking about. So just making sure that he's aware of that, I think is going to be interesting.
Yeah. And I guess that leads into kind of the next question of, from a content strategy perspective, do you have a documented list of topics that you want to address on your show?
Yes.
Okay. So how is that list created? Is it we just sat down and started putting thoughts on paper, which to be clear, is how most podcasts start? Or is there any form of a mechanism for generating new topics?
Right. So it starts, It starts with the product and product marketing, essentially. So we work backwards from the problems we solve, right? So for example, if we have tooling or features around social selling, for example, what we will do is like now break it down or expand it into, okay, what is the problem? What is the cost of the problem? Why does solving this problem matter? What is social proof around people solving this problem? Look, what are the results that they can expect? What are objections people might have and how can we address them? And so that lays the foundation for content we create. All of our content that we produce has to address one of these essentially, which all tie back to product, essentially. We might not mention the product, we might not talk about the product explicitly, but it's trying to essentially go up the funnel and figure out, okay, like, what are the questions people need to be answering before they get to that aha moment where maybe I do need this. So that is the foundation for all of the content that we do. And then I think the harder part is actually figuring out, okay, who do we talk to about different pieces of this? Because there might not be anybody out there on the market who's talking about that, or we might not have access to them. And so I think that's where we are opportunistic, where we're like, oh, like, I just happened upon Mark Jung, and he was very aligned. And so I was like, okay, let's go fit this in. And then there are other things in our product where I don't really know anybody who's talking about this, and I have to like solo fill that gap in myself.
Yeah. The reason I'm bringing it up is, as we tie back into like how to use a podcast in your outbound sequencing, is what we've found that works really well is like any questions that come up frequently in your sales processes, like creating dedicated content to answer those questions. Because sometimes it's like, it takes time to design up an FAQ page, whereas like you can pop on a recording and just say, hey, everybody, it's Parthi over here at LetterDrop. We've actually had a number of people that have submitted questions around XYZ thing. And just wanted to give you like, here are the top three things you need to know about this. Takes you 15 minutes. You get it edited and then you upload it to Spotify and Apple. And then whenever you have that as a part of the sequence, most people ask about how do you measure social selling? Parthi did a 15-minute episode or 10-minute episode that are the top three ways you can effectively measure social selling up against revenue. So like that's sales enablement in that context, but it's also thought leadership. So it's just working through what are the frequently asked questions from a sales perspective that actually can be then disseminated at scale.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So again, as I think through the core areas, one of the challenges is always promotion. And I think that there would be two things that I'd recommend just on our promotional side. And again, starting an outbound DM, including the podcast as a part of any kind of sequencing that you're doing with your SDR. The other thing is just a question of, do you have a newsletter growth strategy around how to grow the newsletter? Because it sounds, admittedly, that's like your most guaranteed podcast distribution or promotional channel. So I'm just curious, like, how do you guys plan to grow the newsletter?
Yeah, the newsletter right now doesn't have a dedicated growth strategy in terms of where people come from in our newsletter. There are two primary sources. One, we generate a decent amount of traffic on our blog, and we have a CTA to like, hey, like if you're not ready, but you like this content and you want to hear more from us, sign up for our newsletter. We get a fair amount from that. And then the second way in which people get added to our newsletter is if they go through a sales process with us, essentially. And so those are the only two ways in which we've grown our newsletter so far.
Okay. So I'm going to give four recommendations for your actionable audits. Number one would be, again, if you can create some kind of a dedicated offer that it actually does a couple of things. One, it will drive further content engagement, because if the offer is really awesome, people will tell their friends and you'll drive more people to the podcast through the offer. So there's that side. And additionally, it does allow you some better form of attribution that, like, most people probably won't want to type in /podcast. You put it in the show notes. But if the offer is actually good, people will type it out because they want the offer. There's that side. That'd be the first thing. Second thing is getting more honed in on the actual audience in and of itself. So I think that the audience is currently fairly broad, and not that's a bad thing, but what we have found just with all of our shows, like, this is a phrase that I heard 4 years ago and it's always stuck with me. The riches are in the niches. You can get really deep and really specific. And if you even think about a lot of the really big shows, they started at, I love Alex Rose as an example. He started with like gym content. Like, how do you grow a gym? And now he's done it for 5 or 6 years. And now it's the game, which is all business stuff and whatever and relationships. But I just now at this point, Alex Ramos, he's going to listen to all of his stuff. Doesn't matter. But if you can start really specific, you can inevitably go broader because you build the audience, you build the affinity. So that's been one way that we've helped. Again, for context, Scrappy ABM has helped 6 shows go from 0 to top 10% of global listened to shows in 6 weeks. And it's because we get really honed in and really focused on the audience. So there's that side. Additionally, it would just be like the promotional strategy. So if you are open to other channels, specifically outbound DMs, or there's a paid partner that I work with called Listen Network, and they actually do pay per download, and it's using the Google Ad Network. So you do targeted advertising towards a specific audience, and it's I mean, it's $2 a download. That's a guaranteed listen of the intended audience. And you can actually upload a list and do a target account-based approach to advertising. So that may be a way, or outbound DMs. And then the last component that I'd recommend is just getting really clear on the measurement of success. Because it sounds like there were a couple of different things. And one of the things that I did when I had a content engine, the whole goal was like, how do we get a message out there? And that's largely like what we still measure success on. It's not inbounds. It's not meetings, it's not relationships. It's entirely, did we create the right number of content assets? Because I believe if Mason Cosby puts out 25 content assets on a weekly basis, our business will grow. I'd actually like to get that closer to 100. Like, I would like to be at the end of the year producing 100 different content assets in a variety of channels. Because what I have found is the more content you put out, generally speaking, the more people buy from you. So like, I can control the amount of content output that we produce. I can't necessarily control if somebody listens to all of our content and then books a meeting. But again, I know if I put more out there, that people will inevitably come. So those are the things that I would start to measure on.
Yeah. And I think to your point here, like, you can scale up volume, but it only makes sense to scale up volume if your funnel looks good and you've actually honed in on your audience, you have the right messaging, you have the right problems you're talking about, et cetera. Because I think otherwise what ends up happening is you scale up volume and it's just like diluted volume, which doesn't really get you anything. So I agree with that sentiment. But step number one is definitely just make sure like we're getting very specific about who we're talking to.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on and being our first actionable audit. Hope it was valuable. If you're a listener of the show, thanks for being here and we'll see you in the next one.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.